Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org and on Twitter at Commodity Week or at David A. Dickey. On the phone line with us to take a look at what's been happening in Chicago for today and for the week is Mike Zuzlo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Michael.
Good afternoon, Todd. Happy Father's Day to you, sir.
Well, happy Father's Day to you as well. Looking forward to a great weekend. Should be magnificent here. I think probably you've got a nice forecast there, too.
I think we'll have to get the barbecue out this weekend.
Lots of people apparently are getting the barbecue out because the price of beef continues to go up.
It does indeed, and that weaker corn price sure does give the bulls more enthusiasm to press the long side even higher.
Yeah, in the August live cattle and the August feeder cattle for the week spiked higher. That live cattle spike's kind of... That's quite a jump, up $5.32. Feeder cattle gapped higher for the week. They're up $7.62. That's quite the market on fire. It's been that way for a while, though.
Yeah, it has. We had a little bit of a setback a week or two ago, and that was just a measuring retracement to take out the to test the recent lows, and we just kept on going after that. I think you're seeing that choice select spread continue to narrow, and that's helping the live cattle and kind of give it some extra stimulus as well.
So the meats are higher, including the lean hogs, which finished up $2.02 in the July at $127. But as you mentioned, corn futures in Chicago finished not only the day, they finished the week lower, although they were higher on the day. That was kind of a nice end of the week, I suppose.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, to finish up on the meats, I think between now and the quarterly grain stocks report and the acreage report, we may not get much out of the corn market in terms of the investment flows, Todd. But I think we got to keep in the back of our minds that we are seeing the crude oil jump because of the geopolitical tensions. We're seeing the gold rally with an inflationary bias returning, and we're seeing the meats come on pretty hard here with funds picking up those longs that they dumped out of a couple weeks ago. And so I think you're getting a pretty good sense here that there is an inflationary bias building in commodities again, and I think grains would be probably on board with that. But we may have to wait until we get past that grain stocks and acreage report, because not only the weather for the Corn Belt, but also, and probably more importantly, the trade just doesn't want to buy into this market until it sees a low in the price of wheat. But you're right, the price action this week, interesting to note and kind of relative to what we were just talking about, Dease Corn was able to close above its report day low, report day close. Nove Beans able to close above its report day close. July Soft Wheat was even able to close above its or close below its report day low or close. So we did not see the soft red wheat out of corn, beans, and hard red wheat. All of them closed above their report day close, but we did not see the soft red wheat. So we can see pretty clearly where the trouble is and where the low needs to come in.
I take it then that that's in the SRW, and it's harvest time, so that's pretty normal at this time of year.
It is. This is where the USDA report did not give me what I needed as far as a report that showed a smaller crop and smaller ending stocks. They instead showed a smaller crop but bigger U.S. ending stocks. And it, very puzzling to me, and I would have to say I'm in disagreement with this mindset, and I think the USDA is going to have to walk back some of these numbers because they raised the EU crop. That I could get away with, but I still think they're a little bit gutsy on that. They raised the Russian wheat crop, which I think is a real problematic issue given their last 30 days of weather. And most importantly, they raised the Indian wheat crop, even though the monsoon in India for the month of June is way delayed. With the India monsoon and meteorological authority was talking about a 93% monsoon instead of 100 or 110. So we've got some problems brewing in India, but USDA went ahead and raised the crop. But you're right, we have a real contentious problem with the soft red wheat. The hard red wheat yields are coming in Oklahoma in that 5 to 30 bushel range, a lot of it in those teens, and I think that maybe helped bring the hard red wheat back a little bit today on the close, but soft red just isn't ready to play ball yet.
Can you give me a set of fundamentals for corn that might show support over the summer months. What might they be? And I've got an idea, but maybe I can take you through some of what I think. But tell me what you think that those things that are supportive to the market for corn might be in the summer months.
Yeah, taking the wheat completely off the table, I think the first and foremost is the supply side, is that the trade at 435 or 440 December corn futures, my price model would say you're already banking on a 2 billion bushel carryover, so you've already priced in a large degree of El Nino. I think then you slip over to the demand side, and there's not much bad news. In fact, pretty much everything is good news when it comes to the demand side. Hog weights remain high. We just talked about the feeder cattle and how profitable it will be to feed those to heavier weights to try and get more out of that higher expensive feeder, light feeder you're buying. You've got a very good ethanol base developing here. We've got ethanol 95 cents a gallon discount to the RBOB right now. That's extremely appealing to the ethanol blenders, and you know, you have not seen any kind of backing off on the demand side and the export front with the corn either. And one of the big points that USDA made and why they lowered wheat demand in domestically and globally was because of the corn feeding and the relationship that the Europeans are especially going after a lot more corn feeding this year and probably going to see one of the highest levels in the last 5 years. So I think there's a lot brewing there in the corn, and in fact, I would say the last 50 cents of downside in December corn to take us below 480, 475 area has been almost all wheat. And the fact that the wheat is now at the Gulf of Mexico, soft red wheat is now the lowest since July of 2010.
Okay, so one of the things you mentioned was that you thought in your models that the price action was showing a 2 billion bushel carryout for corn for next year. So that'd be up, what, 300 million? And I'm guessing, does that mean they're looking at a 167 or 168 on the average yield then?
Yeah, I think you've probably got a little bit smaller acreage number being talked about in Chicago right now, but you're talking about a 168 to 170 yield being talked about. And, you know, we talked about this on Commodity Week not too long ago, and you know, I don't think there was a lot of disagreement that the trade felt, or the people that were talking about the trade along with you and I were thinking that 165 is fairly easy to get to and that we're on our way to 170 if we continue to see good weather.
All right. So at the moment, though, the way you have to view it, I suppose, is we don't have that in the bin. So this is a discount to the marketplace.
Yeah, it's undervalued. I think that's the simplest point you can make.
Mm-hmm. All right. Is there anything a producer can do to take advantage of that or should do to take advantage of that at all?
Yeah, livestock producers, I put out on the report day to come in and get some September 460 corn calls bought right away.
Right.
Take advantage of 100% of your feed needs for the next 3 to 4 months. In case we do have any problems with getting that early crop off in the corn. And I'll probably be looking to do the same thing in the meal with the bean side of the equation for the livestock producers as well. But right now I'm going to say for the hedger, for the corn hedger, the corn producer, you're just waiting for that wheat low to come in. And once that wheat low comes in, I put it in the copy this week, I think you're looking at a cycle low in corn that would put you at the lowest point going all the way into harvest. That we have a low in place coming, I think, right before or right after this acreage and stocks report in corn, once the wheat bottoms, that we would not be able to challenge again until we get to the harvest time period. So I think this is where you want to probably pull some puts off, pull paper positions off, and look at the idea of reinstituting those hedges at higher levels.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us. I really do appreciate it.
And I appreciate all you do. Thank you, sir.
All right. Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He is in Atchison, Kansas. Joins us on this Friday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. If you get a chance, stay with us on our home radio station at 2:36. We'll start Commodity Week this afternoon. Our panelists will include Matt Bennett from TGM, Ellen Dearden of AgriView out of Morton, Illinois, and Elaine Cobb of Mastering the Grain Markets.